This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Robin Lundberg Show.
You want a little insight into my personality? My existence is really a constant battle between extreme confidence and deep-set insecurity.
Hey, thanks for letting me in. Got a good show going, man.
I'm here and ready to strike.
Robin, I gotta tell you, I've only been listening for about a month now, but I do love the show.
I wanna make sure I get all of your guys' opinions in before we get out of here, because you're as big a part. Well, actually, let me take that. That was today. You're a big part of the show. I was going to say you're as big a part of the show as I am. I'll give you 40%. 60% me, 40% you. But it wouldn't exist without you.
The Robin Lundberg Show is on the air.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Talked about a lot thus far on the show. One of the topics, of course, being college football and whether that should be a season that happens. I'm excited about the NBA's return. I'm happy baseball, football, the NFL, that is, coming back. I do draw a distinction when it comes to college football. We've also done a hypothetical around the NBA bubble. And when I say draw a distinction with college football, by the way, I mean you really have to think about it. I'm not saying yes or no directly, but to me it's a whole different matter than professional sports. Speaking of the professional sports, we played a little hypothetical on the NBA bubble and whether if you had your current salary still paid to you, but were asked to go to the bubble as an observer, would you take that offer? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. Let's go to Wayne in College Park, Maryland. That's where I went to school. Wayne, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Robin, what's up? Shout out to my fellow Terp, class of 87.
Class of, when did I graduate? 2004.
Nice. So anyhow, this proverbial bubble, I would gladly go in there. My kids are grown now, so I have all the time in the world, if you're going to pay my salary, to sit and watch pro basketball at Disney World. Are you kidding me? I've been to Disney like 28 times, and I live here in Maryland. Boy, I've stayed at 18 of their properties, and every time better than the next. I love it. I would go.
You sound like you're the perfect person for this experiment, right? Because not only are you in a place in your life where you have the flexibility to do so, but you're also a big
Disney
fan.
Send me, Robin. Send me.
We'll start a GoFundMe or something. I think you got to get a credential. But I appreciate the call, man. Let's go to James, also in Maryland. James, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, James?
Hey, Robin, how you doing? Hey, I'm going to start off by just saying I love your show, but I got a little criticism for you.
Sure, that's fair.
This comparable guy called in earlier about veterans, and you willy-nilly just waved that off. Said, oh, that's their job. Well, you know what? I listened to your show, and I'm a 30-year retired Marine. And let me tell you something. A young man goes in the service making $38,000 a year, and he doesn't go in to go over there and live for a year in combat. Those guys don't get per diem. They don't get the things that are afforded to these basketball players with an average salary of $3.85 million. So when you just willy-nilly wave that off, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, hold on, James. But you say you want to give me criticism. Let's the be ashamed of yourself thing is a little much, I think. Because
let me
clarify for a second, James. Okay, hang on. I'm not cutting you off. I didn't willy-nilly it off. I don't understand why that was brought up. That it's not a willy-nilly thing. The sacrifice that the military makes is obviously tremendous. You know, there are things that people sign up for that I would not do. I salute them for it.
Well, but you said that's a job that they joined, so it's not really relevant.
Well, it wasn't relevant to the conversation because I wasn't talking about the military. I was presenting the hypothetical.
Okay.
I just presented to the audience.
I'll give you credit on that.
When that guy called up and said, so obviously when you join the military, right, you know what could be as part of that. You know what is going on, and that is a decision you make. Like I said, salute to you and salute to your service.
All right. Let me just say,
why was he comparing the military to NBA players? I didn't understand why he brought that up.
We'll be positive on something real quick.
Uh-huh.
Veterans provided the freedoms that every American gets. And if it happens to be a guy making $40 million playing basketball, so be it. But when you sleight of hand that job, lots of veterans are going to look a little different at you, Robin, because that is the ultimate sacrifice, and it does not compare to any job.
But I did not sleight of hand. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not slight. I didn't sleight of hand that job. I just don't know why he brought the military into that conversation.
Fair enough.
It had nothing to do with what I was talking about.
The only reason I brought this to you is because you said, well, that's the job they chose.
Because he was shoehorning the military into a conversation that had nothing to do with the military. So that's why I'm letting you talk right now, James, out of respect to make sure that we're on the same page.
And I love your show, bro. Don't get me wrong. I'm a little personal when you do 30 years in the military, and it's very commonplace these days in America for people to just push that off like, well, that's their job. There's a lot more to it than that is all I'm trying to say.
I understand, and that's why, you know, like a lot of people, when it, something hits them in a certain way because of their personal experience, they're going to react a certain way, and I understand. And again,
and
that's why I want to talk.
If I can make $4 million playing basketball anywhere in America, I would do it in a blink.
But again, that's not the hypothetical I presented.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, so that's what all I'm saying is, what I didn't get was, because my hypothetical was, you take your current salary and you can still get paid your current salary. You don't lose your job, and you can go be an observer at the bubble. Is that something you would do? You would also have to leave, you know, your life and your family for that time period.
I'm with you. That's a comparison I made. I'll go to Iraq for nothing money because it's what? If I can go watch basketball in wherever, I would do it in a minute. You know why? Because it's better than being in the dirt, eating an MRE for a year, living on a cot with a freaking sleeping bag.
Well, I would imagine it is, man. I hope we're good now.
We're good,
we
were never bad to begin with.
I just didn't understand why he was saying, you know, these NBA players are this and the military goes and does this. I just didn't understand why that was even brought into
the conversation.
That's
fair. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the call. And you have a good one. Let's go to Rembrandt in North Texas. Rembrandt, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Rembrandt?
Hey, Robin. You know, you talk about, you know, baseball and basketball. Of course, to answer your question, though, I would do it because I can work from home anyway, so I can do two jobs. I can watch the basketball for 3 months, and like the prior caller, all my kids are grown, and then I can work remotely for the company I work for.
But that's some good thinking there. And it helps when the kids are grown, right? That's probably the biggest hindrance for a lot of people is just where you're at in your family situation.
Right, except for I have outdoor activities in the fall that they'd have to compensate me for. But, hey, I called in to ask.
Take the deal then. If they have to compensate you extra, you wouldn't take the deal.
Maybe not then. Okay.
Right.
I had a question. You know, you talk about, you know, baseball season, basketball season, they all have a whole lot of games. What, baseball's 152 trimmed down to whatever, and basketball's 120 trimmed down to whatever, 70, 80 games. I mean, a bunch of games, right? NFL, you know, college ball, too. NFL, 16 games. Already ruled out the preseason. And
well, two of the preseason games, at least, yeah.
Okay, well, I thought I saw something yesterday said preseason, all of it's gone. But my question is this. I mean, here we are. I'm a season ticket holder, and I had to pay for my tickets in April. And they're sitting on my money, basically, not deciding on when the season is, and or even whether or not I can attend. It's that indecisiveness that sort of bothers me. I just wonder what you thought about that, how different teams are handling it differently. I'm sure the Cowboys are handling it different than the Steelers, than Miami, regarding season ticket holders. And, you know, you throw in other topics, like the revisionist history with Kaepernick, you know, I mean, come on, he's anti-capitalist, I mean, anti-police, and they're embracing him, which, like you said, it sort of disrupts a lot of the older people who stand for our military and our police. In fact, my two boys are sheriffs, so, yeah, I definitely stand for the blue. But back to the NFL. What is your perception on how different teams are handling the season ticket holders?
Well, and there's a lot to get to in what you just said. Hold on. For the question at hand, the season ticket holders, I would say if I were running an NFL team, I would offer full refunds right now. No questions asked. Regardless of whether there is any plans to have fans in the stands, I think given the nature of the circumstances, that is the appropriate offer. And thanks for the call. As far as what you said otherwise, let's be careful. You know, I don't know where the shot at Colin Kaepernick came from or why that was brought up. Colin Kaepernick, I always like to make sure I draw a distinction between Colin Kaepernick and everything else that's going on, because everything that's going on is not about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick's sort of a symbol. Because of his original protest, but the protest was about police brutality and racial injustice, right? Colin Kaepernick happened to be the individual that began the protest, but it's not about Colin. So whatever you think about Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be what you think about the entire movement. And then obviously, I think well-meaning people should be able to draw a distinction between a problem and everyone that's maybe involved in a system. And there has clearly been a problem with police brutality. That doesn't mean anyone who is involved with the police is being shunned. So I hope that, you know, and police reform, you know, if I were a police officer, I would want to be thought more highly of. I would want to be reformed to a sense where this isn't a recurring issue. So, when we have these discussions, you need to have them with the proper context involved and the proper, you know, thoughtfulness involved, rather than just everybody saying I'm here or I'm there. 855-212-4227. Again, I don't even know how we got there. So that's why we get caught off guard when certain things just get shoehorned into conversations that we weren't even talking about. 855-212-4227. Should there be a college football season? I feel like that's about to be a huge question. I mean, now that you have the Big Ten going to conference only play, the Pac-12 going to conference only play, the Ivy League canceling sports altogether, canceling football altogether, and you know, you look at college football, as I've said throughout this show, I do treat it differently than I treat the pros. I do draw a distinction that rather than with the pros, where you're talking about guys who are making a lot of money. And again, that's why, you know, in every conversation to try to approach it with the nuance that it deserves. And that doesn't mean I'm saying cancel the college football season, but there is a level of uneasiness that comes with the participants not being involved in that money sharing. You know, we saw baseball players fight with between the players and the owners, you know, over money. We're all like, why are you fighting over money in a time like this? And NBA players already had a CBA and they worked it out quietly. But I think the rev share, you know, basketball related income is something like 50-50 there. with the NFL, obviously they just signed a new CBA, so they negotiated that, and they've worked it out. With college football, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. So there are real economic ramifications to all these things, but when you're talking about college, you're talking about the economic ramifications for universities to be able to fund things, for coaches who get paid a lot of money, and for some aspect trickle-down aspects in the local economy. But so if you're keeping the college football season, I would have to imagine that's the biggest motivating factor to doing it, right? The players see none of that. And that's just, I think we should all agree that's just not, like, right. Whether you think that's not right in general, in the broader sense of the college football system, right now it feels especially not right, even if college kids are, and college athletes in particular, are relatively low risk, of course, considering what we know about coronavirus. So that's a tough thing for me, especially also when you don't have universal regulations, and also when you're dealing with, you know, if schools are going to have people on campus and then the kids are, you know, college students are going to be mingling with the college players, and it's going to be very tough to keep it contained. So I feel like people are sort of tiptoeing around, and a lot of people want college football back, especially in some of these states that are seeing skyrocketing cases. And I just do believe, whether or not there is a college football season, I do believe it should be treated differently, and there should be a higher bar to cross than there is with professional sports. Because in professional sports, you know, there's one, the choice for these athletes involved, and I'm sure some of colleges will present a choice, but also it is their profession, and it is something they are being compensated for. And that makes a significant difference when the primary reason any of these things are coming back is economics. And again, I'm not even saying that in a derogatory fashion, because there are economic realities. It's just the society we live in. It's just the way it's constructed. So, you know, if certain sports aren't played, team employees suffer. Ancillary incomes for people who get benefits from sports being played, advertisers suffer, sports media suffers. There's just the players obviously involved suffer. There's a lot there. But in the college sense, if that's also the motivating factor, yeah, you have to at least acknowledge that it's a little bit strange that the people who are the active participants in making that happen are not active participants in that revenue sharing. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Going to talk to Houston Nutt, CBS Sports college football analyst, about all that coming up next. Also want to hear from you. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to some of your tweets at Robin Lundberg. Father of Our City tweets in that he would go to the NBA bubble under the hypothetical I presented, where you're paid your current salary, not an NBA salary, but you have to leave and go there for the time period as an observer. You know, I have young kids, so that makes it tough, but if I didn't, I would definitely do it. But Father of Our City said it'd be college part two, except everything is paid for. I'm making money. The campus is Disney World. We have our own bathrooms. PJ's13 tweets in, I see CBS Sports Radio hosts still talking about non-live sports as opposed to all the live sports that are going on. And then 501 in the 503 says, no disrespect to anyone, but this reassurance of sports is asinine, thinking any sport will finish the season. It's July. The NBA should be over. You're creating higher risk situations, hindering the idea of normalcy in sports. Well, I mean, look, I disagree. I don't think you're creating a higher risk situation, especially in the NBA's regard. I don't think they're creating a higher risk situation, because I would bet, and I'm not an expert on this, but I've seen the experts consulted, and they've given their approval, that the situation the NBA has is likely safer than the day-to-day live or location that most people would be in. But I believe in proceeding wisely, not recklessly. Because if you just cancel everything now, who's to say you won't have to cancel the next version of it next season? Because we don't know what's going to happen here. So I applaud the NBA for having a plan. And there are real economic ripple effects to not having seasons that could be damaging for team employees, for the players, for sports media, for businesses that make money off of sports. And that's not to minimize the safety aspect of it, because that's something you have to factor in. But I think all of this requires more nuance. And there's a difference, though, when it comes to college sports. And joining me now to discuss is Houston Nutt, CBS Sports college football writer. And in Houston, that, you know, I'm sure you just heard a little bit of what I had to say. I'm not somebody who's against the return of sports, but college football is the one, and I see this conversation now coming into focus, where I feel a little bit, you know, more uneasy about it, simply because obviously if they're coming back, there's going to be the money that's going into the schools, local economies, and the other programs at the schools, but the participants, even if they're relatively low risk to the coronavirus, given the, you know, the age demographic, are not seeing a cut of it. Do you think there should be a different standard for the return of college sports?
Well, you know, we're in a whole different world right now, and, you know, you have somebody's most valuable possession. You have somebody's son, and first and foremost, you want to be keep everybody healthy, no question about it. You know, I was hoping that the leagues could maybe go a little longer, wait a little bit longer, the Big Ten, Pac-12, before making a decision. Hey, we're going to go strictly conference games right now, because really, I mean, who knows? Do you truly know? We do know. Hey, my daughter runs a restaurant, and she had to close down, and then there was 25% and curbside service, and wear a mask, and I get all that. And you're just trying to be as safe as you can. And then same thing as you try to get a young man on campus. And so it's just such uncharted waters right now that we don't know. And here it is early July. And I just think that there's so many things can happen. It's easy to say, hey, we better shut this thing down because of the numbers, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just hoping and praying that we can first and foremost have a policy, a group of policies, or hopefully a vaccine, but you don't know how quick that will happen. But you want your young people safe and have an environment, and you know, we all want football, but we also want safety.
Yeah, and it's one of the problems you sort of alluded to there, that there's not really a universal standard in college sports, because you have different schools, you have different conferences, and therefore, you know, it's hard to know. You know, when you look at the NBA or the NFL or MLB, they're going to have whatever the policy is for the league. Does that complicate right. things further, that there's not a universal policy or strategy in place?
Well, I think it does. You know, when you look at from the very first time we got the message that, hey, Big Ten, conference only, Pac-12, we're just going to go conference only. And, well, what's going to happen now? The SEC, Big 12, ACC. Well, we're all waiting for their commissioners and their presidents and their coaches to get together and find out what's going to happen there. So I do think it makes it a little bit more complicated.
Robin Lundberg talking to Houston at CBS Sports College Football Analyst here on CBS Sports Radio. As far as the ramifications of the conference only announcements, what do you think the impact of that is? When you first heard that for the Big Ten and the Pac-12, where did your mind go?
Well, immediately, you know, you think about the games. There's big games scheduled, and my heart goes a little bit different because I coach at Murray State. You look at some of the mid majors, lower Division I schools that are just, man, they're going to be hurting because they need those games to, it's their budget. You know, it's mm-hmm. how they make it. And so immediately I thought, you know, about the games. But again, you go back to what you said earlier. Hey, we just don't know. And again, you don't want anybody to get sick. It's about safety and health first. And I understand that. But, man, I was hoping we could get through July, end of July, and then see where we are.
Yeah, I was hoping, obviously, like a lot of people, that the numbers would be a lot lower than they are,
right,
especially in some of these states where college football is so big. You know, is it a unique challenge for getting just college football, but football in general? But I'll take it to the college level because of the interaction at campus. So let's say that students are back on campus. Obviously, you know, the players would then be interacting with the students there. But is it tougher for football, not just because of the nature of the sport, which is contact, but just because of the size of the rosters? So it's a little bit more difficult to isolate and monitor everything. Does that make it more difficult?
Without question. You know, when you look at you got 125 players or 130, some teams have 130, some teams have 115. And then when you do add students, I mean, it's going to be constant, you know, checking a temperature so-and-so on floor three was sick and had some fever. And then, you know, you're constantly trying to, this player was with the assistant coach and one of the trainers, and we need to check in. I mean, it's just such the moving targets are they just keep going.
Now, as far as the idea of spring, that's been brought up. What are your thoughts on that? Is that a notion that you think is workable or not?
Well, it's hard for me, you know, to get my arms around. Of course, you know, we've never done it. So, I mean, again, we're in new, uncharted waters. I don't know. I mean, I always think we think of football. We think of football for fall. And I'm hoping and praying we can get this done. But you don't know. But if you can't, to me, the question is going to be, now you're going to be able to do football, basketball. You're going to be able to do some spring sports in the spring along with football. That'll be, I don't know.
What do you see as a realistic timeline for this? For where we have some degree of finality, obviously we've gotten the Ivy League's announcement and we've referenced, of course, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 a couple times already in this conversation. When do you think is sort of the deadline for a degree of finality to make things work or not?
Well, again, I don't think you can say, okay, this is the date this year, because we're going to look back in 2020. We're talking about a pandemic. We truly don't know. But again, going back to our first original conversation, you know, that's where I was hoping the conferences could get through. I know the numbers are up, but let's get through July. Remember, I know people hate to think about going back to the olden days, but remember back in the 70s, your players went home for the summer, worked, got a job, came back for conditioning tests about August 4th, August 5th. Mm-hmm. And then you got going. Now this is a whole different world. I get it, where you're just year round, but I just don't think you can say right now, hey, this is the date. This is the date that we have to say, boom. I just don't think you can put a finger on it right now. I know time. We're losing time. Everybody's getting anxious because as we get into July, we turn the corner for August. Hey, we're all used to two-a-days. We're all our practice time and getting ready for the season. But this is different. This is just so much different.
Yeah, and Houston, obviously, as we referenced a few times, none of us know exactly how to deal with our current circumstances. I appreciate you joining the show and providing your insight on these matters. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Miss any of the show? Catch up with the Robin Lundberg podcast, available all week on the weekend page at cbssportsradio.com.
It is the Robin Lundberg show here on CBS Sports Radio, and Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the show. What's going on, Mitch?
Good morning, Robin. Hope you're being safe.
Doing my best, man. Yep.
Yeah, same here. You gotta be better. I guess it's better to be lucky than good. It's scary. I think they open up the doors too soon, forcing people to wear masks. What is the big deal? You see what's going on with the baseball and basketball. People are just getting this virus, and even with the Southeast guy. I'm hoping to be college football, but it just doesn't look good. I wish they maybe put the whole season. I would like to see the whole season, but push it maybe towards the end of the year. I mean, they keep saying that they're coming around the corner with this a cure or a virus or another shot you have to take. And hope it'll be available for everybody, money, you know, free. It should be. This has to be like the scariest thing I can remember in history since I guess the Spanish flu.
Well, look, Mitch, it's obviously it's unprecedented. That's for sure. I try not to be afraid personally. This is where, like, remember the Tom Brady post? He's like, "You have nothing to fear but fear itself." I didn't love that post just because of the messaging it sent. Basically, it was Tom Brady scoffing at the notion of the safety precautions that the Players Association had asked for. And then I could see people using that as a way to, like, not wear masks and take proper precautions. Oh, Tom Brady said that, you know. But in general, I try not to be afraid about this thing. I don't think that's a healthy mentality either. I understand why people are, but it is unprecedented, and it obviously is serious, and the gravity of it is enormous. So that's I'll keep repeating the same thing. I say we have to proceed wisely, not recklessly, but we must proceed. Where college football falls in that is open to debate, because college football to me is, you know, there's a different standard than professional sports, where the participants are highly compensated. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. All right, let's get into a bunch of topics I have not, as of yet, in another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
All right, Anthony, what's up first?
All right, so the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, they must reach a long-term extension by 3 p.m. Central next Wednesday. That would be July the 15th, or both sides must table contract talks until 2021, and the Pro Bowl quarterback will play the upcoming season on the one-year, $31.4 million franchise tag he signed in late June. So, Robin, will a deal get done by Wednesday?
I believe so. I believe so because, you know, as far as this goes, I just don't see the benefit for either party too much here, unless for some reason Dallas actually believes he's not their quarterback of the future. Look, the Patrick Mahomes deal is a whole different thing. Obviously, Dak Prescott is not Patrick Mahomes. But not being Patrick Mahomes doesn't mean he's not good. And I would put Dak near the, like, I'd say he's at the top of tier two of quarterbacks in the NFL. And a lot of teams have been searching for a quarterback a long time. Anthony's a Jets fan. We'll see how Sam Darnold works out. But Anthony, other than, you know, your hope in Sam Darnold, it's fair to say that Jets have been looking for a quarterback since man landed on the moon, basically.
Long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And there's a lot of other franchises. The Browns. We'll see if it's Baker Mayfield. They've been looking for a quarterback a long time. So the idea of a Dak Prescott is hardly, I would think, a bad idea for many teams. And he's going to get paid. I mean, that's just the nature of it. Look at the franchise tag. Look at the number that's already there. So when Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins and Carson Wentz and guys like that are getting the deals that they're getting, of course Dak Prescott's going to want a similar deal. And then generally the trend has been to go a little bit above the most recent deal. So I understand that's why he's negotiating, you know, and these things sometimes take a while to play out. Usually deadlines spur action, so I would expect them to get this done. I think the franchise part of it was a positive sign towards that. So I'll be at least mildly surprised if they don't work this out and you don't see Dak Prescott not getting a Patrick Mahomes deal, of course, but a deal more in line with the other quarterbacks who recently signed. What's next?
Another one.
Speaking of contracts, Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh said Wednesday that he was closing in on a contract extension before the coronavirus pandemic hit. The Wolverines coach has 2 years left on a deal that pays him about $7 million per year. He is 47-18 over five seasons, but he is 0-5 against rival Ohio State and has lost four straight bowl games. Robin, if you were in charge at Michigan, would you be giving Jim a contract extension?
You know, it's the same thing as some of these other things. Like, we get so caught up in the best case scenario that you don't realize what you have is maybe pretty good. You know, I always say perfect is the enemy of good. One, there's a certain level of prestige that has come around Jim Harbaugh. I mean, obviously we think something about him in the media because we're constantly talking about him. You don't do that that factors into Michigan as well, but you don't do that for most coaches. And I understand that Michigan wants to get over the hump in some of these situations, and particularly against Ohio State. But I also would be short of calling his tenure a complete disaster. You know, I feel like that's part of the sports talk business a little bit because he is a high profile name. So I'm not like totally enthused and be like, oh my God, this guy definitely needs an extension. But I also don't think it's the worst idea in the world to have some stability with a proven coach, even if he hasn't quite gotten what you want. Because when you start working from the results backwards, it becomes a little problematic. It's like saying a season is a failure if you don't win the championship. I mean, there can be a lot of in-between there. And it's not as if he's gone there and Michigan has fallen flat on its face as a program. What's next?
Another one.
Avery Bradley, of course, one of the NBA players that decide to opt out. The Lakers said that Bradley will receive a championship ring should they win it all in Orlando. However, Bradley has not made any decision about possibly accepting it, according to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. "Will I accept the ring? I'm neither here nor there about it," Bradley told Yahoo Sports. "I am 10 years in this league. The physical possession of a ring doesn't make me feel like more or less of a person. I play basketball strictly for enjoyment and to add to the support of my family. Supporting them is exactly what I'm doing right now." Robin, should players who opt out accept a ring if their team wins it all?
That's up to them, right? I mean, if it's offered to them, then it becomes their decision. I think I wouldn't feel like I earned that ring. I mean, it's a little different for an injury or something like that. But it's hard to feel like a part of it, I would imagine. And that's just me putting myself in their shoes. And again, I have respect for anybody's personal decision there. That's not an indictment of a decision not to go. But, you know, it almost feels like a new season, right? I mean, I know it's part of the same season technically, but this feels like a whole new endeavor. So I think personally have difficulty reckoning with the fact that it just didn't feel like an achievement that I was really a part of. And therefore I'd just be, you know, accepting it for symbolic natures. But that, you know, that doesn't mean that has to be everybody's opinion. You could say I was there, you know, in part to put together the chemistry that helped build that championship team. So if it's offered, that becomes an individual decision. For me, I lean towards, you know, I probably would say, yeah, maybe, you know. But then again, would I really, when it came down to it, would I say no to a championship ring, or would I have it to have it? But the sentiment of it, it to me is a little bit more in line of, if I wasn't a part of it, I wouldn't quite feel like I earned that. And there's a reason I would have chosen to opt out, because other things matter more to me, and that's okay. What's next?
Another one.
So Andrew McCutchen, who played 25 games for the Yankees in 2018, said this week that the team needs to get rid of their haircut policy, which doesn't allow players to grow facial hair or have their hair length go below the uniform's collar. McCutchen said, "I think, especially in this year, the year of 2020, I just feel like these things should be things that people take at heart and realize we have a way of expressing ourselves in different ways." So, Robin, should the Yankees get rid of their haircut policy?
I mean, it does feel ridiculous. I guess any organization can have the policy they want, but it does feel ridiculous, especially now, like, given everything that's going on, like, that's what anybody's going to be worried about, haircut. I haven't worn pants since March. First of all, it's a sign of the times people don't have haircuts. But, yeah, I mean, like he said, people like to look a certain way, express themselves a certain way. It doesn't have any impact on the on-field product. It's not 1950. I just don't see what they gain by keeping it in place, other than we are the prestigious New York Yankees. It's they can have it if they want, but it just seems silly and stupid to me. So yeah, if I were in charge, I would absolutely get rid of it tomorrow. What's next?
Another one.
And finally, Robin, Vivica A. Fox thinks that Zendaya should play her daughter Nikki and square off against Uma Thurman in a potential Kill Bill 3. So So Tarantino has said his next film, which would be number 10, is his final film, and then he is retiring. So should Kill Bill 3 be Tarantino's final film? Or would you like to see him venture off and touch on something else?
I would the latter, if it's because you're saying... So I treat this as almost like two separate things. I would prefer the latter, something new, if it's going to be his final film. If you were telling me, would I take a Kill Bill 3? Yes, I would take a Kill Bill 3. I thought the first Kill Bill, I think, is tremendous. The second one is still good, but not quite up, I think, to the quite as highly of as the original. But I did really like the Kill Bill movies, so I certainly wouldn't be mad about a third Kill Bill movie. But if you're presenting only the scenario of it's that or, you know, nothing else, then I would prefer one other individual, you know, idea, a new idea.
I would agree. I would like to see maybe something from the horror genre, because he has always said that he would like to do a scary movie, like an Exorcist type, but he's always been reluctant because one of the things that he loves to incorporate is humor into his films. And he has said that he thinks that would be very difficult to do, to make a scary movie.
Has he ever done a full-on comedy?
Not a full-on comedy.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think he's got the track record. There's only a few of his movies that, well, I mean, I like almost all of his movies, and he certainly has a unique style. So I would defer to the catalog there as far as what he wants to do, whatever's inspirational at that time period. I mean, I liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood quite a bit, actually. And the one before that was probably my least favorite. What was that, Hateful Eight? I think that's my least favorite. But nevertheless, I make sure I see any of the Quentin Tarantino movies. Definitely one of my favorite directors, along with the Coen brothers, the Russo brothers, and a few others on that list. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Hope you have a good weekend, everybody. I'll be back next Saturday morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.